This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour satellite soiree. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Houston to Harrisburg, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Got a good show coming up for you this morning. Really good show. We'll talk NBA Finals with Rex Walters. He's an assistant coach for the Detroit Pistons. Obviously played the game a long time. We'll talk to Rex about what needs to happen tonight in a game number three for us to have a series. And all of the inner workings of the controversies and debate and discussion surrounding LeBron James and the collapse in game one that just simply won't die. Also, we'll talk to Tony Finau. You might remember he was the tour tough man on the PGA Tour, dislocating his ankle, popping it back in, and then going out to finish the round. PGA Tour tough guy. He will join us on this morning show as well, a little over an hour from now. Max Scherzer's immaculate inning, throwing crabs onto the ice of the Stanley Cup Final. Josh Rosen and his early splash in Phoenix. And tonight's Game 3, Cleveland Golden State. It's all on the table this morning. You can watch the show at watchda.com. That simulcast going on as we speak. And it's sparkling Technicolor for your visual pleasure.
Electronically ignorant.
Also, hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. And stream the show as always using the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music if you want to listen to us on your phone. So let's begin with Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Tonight, Golden State looks to put this series in a chokehold. 3-0, say goodnight. If Golden State wins tonight, it is over, done, that's the series. Cleveland knows that. They're desperate. They're going to play Rodney Hood. Hood has been relegated to the deep end of the pool, the bench, the doghouse of Ty Lue. He has not been able to get his fanny off of that bench. He's had DNPs, coach's decision. Now, finally, they're going to run him because what else can they do? They've got to roll the dice here. They've got three-pointers not hitting three-pointers. They've got rebounders not rebounding. They've got scorers not scoring. They need something. And they'll turn to Hood and the collection of other role players to try to pick up some of the slack because LeBron will have a huge game tonight. We all know that. But that won't be enough. And so it comes back to that game one and how this series would be totally different. And it's hard not to believe that that game one didn't dictate everything about this series. along the lines of, with that loss, the way that it happened, Cleveland might just be in its own head. And they just won't be able to get out of it. Because now, after that video surfaces that we've talked about the last 2 days, of LeBron steaming on the bench after the JR play, crushed upon learning from Ty Lue that they had a timeout that they didn't use, on the bench, hands on his head, face in a towel, people are criticizing him. Be a better leader. Be more engaged. Be mentally tough. And so LeBron's had to answer these questions the last couple of days. And yesterday sounded like LeBron finally gave the truth. He's been saying the right things, but it sounds like he may have been caught in a cold, hard truth. Did LeBron just openly admit his teammates suck? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
No. You're saying I got criticized for something, right? No, I don't believe that. Not me. I don't care. I don't care at all. I mean, we're in the NBA Finals. I mean, how much more picking up teammates you want me to do? I mean, NBA Finals, it could be for a championship.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Mark Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
So when LeBron says it's the NBA Finals, how much more picking up of my teammates do you want me to do? There's only two ways that can go. Let me give you the way it could go where he's actually defending his teammates. Hey, man, we're in the NBA Finals. These guys have got to be pretty good. For us to be here, we've got to be a really good team. They don't need me to pick them up because they're legit. This is a good team with good players, and we've got talent. That's why we're here. They don't need me. But I don't think that's the way that he meant it. I think the way that he meant it was, man, I've carried this team into the NBA Finals. Isn't that the ultimate validation that I pick these guys up all the time? And look, you guys know me. I am totally in awe of LeBron's postseason. I am completely in awe and in admiration of what LeBron has done. I believe this postseason, and perhaps going back to his regular season, where he played in all 82 games in the 15th year of his career, has hit multiple buzzer beaters, two epic Game 7s, done a Game 7 on the road, a 51-point performance in a finals loss, with this cast of characters sweeping the number one seed in between. I think, and I truly believe this, this is the greatest postseason run I've ever seen one player go on individually. That he has done everything. Do you realize in the NBA Finals, he is averaging 40, 12, and 10? I mean, come on. This is totally insane what he is doing. And he's doing it every single night. But you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that because it is a look at me, my teammates stink, and you don't have to say it for everybody to know it. LeBron should not have said that because that's what he is saying there. We're in the NBA Finals. How much more do you want me to pick these guys up? In other words, can you believe we're in the NBA Finals? That's because of me. He has said, I've got good players. We can do this. I've got belief. We love K-Love. We know JR will go off. He'll get hot. Tristan's my guy. He has said the right things when needed. But here he finally broke, and here was the clarity. And you know what? Again, I think after those 35 seconds to end regulation in game number one, that was all the honesty. That was all the truth. That goes beyond the normal athlete speak, saying the right thing, doing what you're supposed to do. He didn't know the cameras were on him there. And what happened was, ref screwed him. George Hill screwed him. JR screwed him. Ty Lue screwed him. And it was just an honest heaving of emotion of, what more can I do? Because remember, he makes the pass to George Hill, which is the perfect pass, which is the right basketball play, instead of playing hero ball at the end of regulation. And even by virtue of making the right basketball play, he is let down by his teammates. So the honesty there is, my God, what more can I do? And there he's verbally and vocally admitting as much. We're in the finals. How much more can I pick these guys up? But you know what? Even if you're thinking that, LeBron, you can't say it. I don't think he should have said that. But it's honest, and it's truth, and it's real. 855-212-4CBS if you want to jump in on that. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Yeah, LeBron just admitted his teammates stink. Yes, that's what that was. And in other words, can you believe this team is in the NBA Finals? Can you believe we're here? Yes, that's exactly what that was. Our toll-free line is brought to you by our friends at Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money, switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Hunter is in Idaho, listening to 93.1 of CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Hunter.
Morning.
What's up, buddy?
I was just, as people call in, like, to talk about the Capitals-Vegas series, maybe you can get a poll on how many Capitals fans out there still think that there's a good potential for the Capitals to blow the series.
I feel like Capitals fans are predisposed to thinking that the bad is going to happen because they have choked before. They have never won a Stanley Cup. They have been a great regular season team and a pathetic postseason team. I think they are predisposed to believing bad is about to happen. However, and D.C. as a sports town is predisposed to believing bad is going to happen because they haven't had a championship since the Super Bowl in 1992. You're talking about more than 25 years of four-team city in professional sports. Outside of D.C. United, MLS, they have one. But the four oldest professional sports, no championships in 26 years. But I do think that the worm is turning a little bit. And that maybe there's enough bandwagon fans who have not been privy to the heartache of the Capitals for the last 5 to 10 years kind of don't realize this is where it's all supposed to go wrong. Because I do think there's heavy optimism in the Beltway that they're going to clinch this thing. And up 3-1, I mean, that's as close to a surefire bet in the Stanley Cup final as you're going to get because that has not been overcome since the 40s, since World War II. But a real diehard Caps fan that has lived and died with the heartbreak, with the chokes, with the collapses, with losing a 3-1 lead to the Rangers 3 years ago in the playoffs, that person, that fan, will never feel comfortable, won't even feel comfortable when the cup is being hoisted by Ovechkin and skated around the arena. They still won't feel comfortable. They've been through too much. PTSD. Puck trauma. When we come back here on the show, Max Scherzer, speaking of DC sports, had an immaculate inning, which means 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 outs, the most economical way you can get out of an inning by a pitcher. And people are kind of melting down over this. But is this that big a deal? We will discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on a Wednesday morning. And remember, the DA Show full episodes available on iTunes. Search DA and CBS. You'll find us there. Full interviews, full episodes. Also on our website, which is phenomenal. It's a one-stop shop. That's daoncbs.com. Time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Tweet our question at CBS Sports Radio or at DA on CBS. Be listening later on. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Dominic tweets, DA, of course there's a lingering feeling in the back of all of us Caps fans that we could somehow still somehow screw this up. It's the Caps after all. Hashtag choked 10 times before.
I am the epic fail.
Yeah, you can't feel comfortable here. If you're the Penguins, you feel comfortable. If you're the Blackhawks, you feel comfortable. If you're the Kings, you feel comfortable. But up 3-1 as the Caps, no way. Dan tweets, the Cavs supporting cast better show up tonight and assist LeBron. You know LeBron's going to have a huge night. They're back home in Cleveland. I think the role players will have a big night. I think the Cavs win tonight. I think Cleveland gets this game. I think they get this game. But I think they only get one at home. I think we're heading back to Oakland 3-1 Warriors. But they won't get swept. They've got enough juice, enough pride. LeBron's not getting swept. He's not losing both of these at home. Last night, Max Scherzer threw what baseball people call the immaculate inning. Last night, the D.C. ace, the Washington Nationals ace, faces the Rays. In the top half of the sixth, he faces Johnny Field, Christian Arroyo, and Daniel Robertson. Now, he uses only 9 pitches to do so. 5 of those, 4-seam fastballs. 2 sliders, 2 changeups. It's called the immaculate inning because you throw 3 balls or 3 pitches, which are 3 strikes, to 3 batters. In some ways, I feel like an immaculate inning should be 3 first pitch outs. Because then you're out of the inning in 3 pitches. But this is pretty good. 9 pitches, and the batters essentially never put bat on ball.
Nothing and 2 on Robertson. Max has the sign. Severino sets up away. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He did it. It's an immaculate inning for Max Scherzer. Second in his career. Third in Nationals history. He strikes out the Rays in order on 9 pitches. It does not get any better than that.
That is Nats Radio on the call. So Max Scherzer is just having an absolutely stupid season right now. That's his 10th win of the year. 10 wins already. We're only into early June. Is it 9-1 or 10-1 for Scherzer? I thought it was 10-1. Either way, the guy's been absolutely stupid with a sub-2 ERA. Sub-2 ERA. So this guy's been absolutely on fire. En fuego. Can you believe hitting that mark this early in the season? The guy is essentially on pace for nearly 30 wins. So there's nothing you can point to and say Scherzer's not the best pitcher right now in the game and probably the most underrated pitcher in the game. Maybe the most underrated player in the game. Is it 9 or 10 here?
Well, we got Baseball Reference has it at 9. MLB.com has it at 10.
I think it's 10. I think he just went to 10-1 last night. So, he's dominant. He's filthy. He's ridiculous. But is the immaculate inning that big a deal? I mean, if you are in a ballpark, would you even know that the immaculate inning was going on? I don't think so. And I've been a baseball fan for a really long time, and I've gone to many a game, and I don't think I would even be locked in enough to be like, oh, this is 9 pitches he's used. It's not something that the crowd starts standing. It's not something where there's a buzz of the crowd like a no-hitter or somebody hitting for a cycle or going for 3 or 4 home runs in a game. It's not somebody closing in on 20 strikeouts. I don't think most people would even know. And a lot of baseball media kind of melting down today over the immaculate inning. It's not that Scherzer isn't impossibly good right now, because he is. But is the immaculate inning that big a deal, especially in an era where strikeouts are through the roof? I mean, this is not 1941, where Joe DiMaggio strikes out like 20 times a year. This is 2018, where Giancarlo Stanton's going to strike out 220 times this year. I don't know, Mraz, is the immaculate inning that big a deal?
I can't call it a big a deal if I've been watching baseball my whole life and I had no idea it was even called an immaculate inning before I walked into work this morning.
Today was the first time you had heard immaculate inning.
No, yeah, and I've always actually wondered to myself, like, I wonder what that's called if a pitcher, you know, like, you just never rarely see it talked about. But to hear it called an immaculate inning and to hear Nats play-by-play know that that's what it's called, and I know that's their job, I can't call something a big deal if it's not that well known that you should just know. We all know what a no-hitter is. We all know what hitting for a cycle is. We know what a hitting streak is. Who knew that was an immaculate inning?
So Max Scherzer does this, and because Max Scherzer's 10-1 and has a sub-2 ERA and is just absolutely ridiculous right now, it's a thing. But he's not even the first person to do it this season. The Orioles' Kevin Gausman did it earlier in the year in April. And I remember when it happened, it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But nobody foamed at the mouth over Kevin Gausman's immaculate inning.
You probably didn't even know he did it if you were in the ballpark until you got home the next day and read it somewhere. Like, oh, I was there for that. That's cool. But you're knee-deep in chicken fingers. You have no idea what's going on.
Well, you're knee-deep in chicken fingers, specifically.
I mean, if it was at Camden, it was probably Boog Powell's barbecue pit. But
you need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Bogus. Immaculate inning. Big deal?
No. Happenstance. Anomaly.
Anomaly?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he intends to go out there and do that. It just happens because he
throws
strikes.
Well, he's intending to throw strikes and
make
guys miss.
Right, but he's not starting the inning going, I want to throw 9 pitches and get 9 strikes and go sit back down.
Yeah, but no, but that's not fair because nobody,
well,
no,
but it, but to
no
me
pitcher
it is.
Goes like, into a game saying, I'm going to throw a no-hitter today, and
no,
they do it.
Right. Well, I mean, more so than you don't have the specific goal of saying, I'm going to get a no-hitter, but you want to give up the fewest hits and runs possible. There's no specific intention to go, I want to go do this. It just happens because he throws strikes and other guys miss it. Like, it's anyone to me can do it. Not to downplay it, but it's just, it's not a thing I care about.
So
it's cool to see it, but like, it's not like the fact that he's like the second pitcher to have 2 since 1988 is not a stat that Elias should have to worry about.
Okay, so this is where it becomes interesting because I'm kind of with you. If Kevin Gausman does it and we barely blink, when Max Scherzer does it, why does it become a big deal? However, when I saw the pitchers that have done this twice in their career, and this is Scherzer's second time he's done it, they're like the greatest pitchers of all time.
Right.
It's Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Sandy Koufax, Lefty Grove, and now Scherzer. Those are the only pitchers ever. Now, I can't believe they used to mark when Lefty Grove had an immaculate inning. Because this feels like something like a sack in the NFL that didn't happen until modern times. So somehow they went back and realized Lefty Grove threw 9 pitches in an inning and hit 9 strikes. But those are 4 of the greatest pitchers ever. They could be the 4 greatest pitchers ever if you want to make an argument for them. Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Sandy Koufax, Lefty Grove. I mean, you don't have Cy Young in there, but can you believe Max Scherzer? This is the only people that have ever done 2 immaculate innings?
It shows how good and how underappreciated it is. But if I'm going to play devil's advocate, we're also talking about a stat that involves some human error with an umpire. Like, who knows if some Joe Schmo bad pitcher, you know, did this in 10 pitches, but, you know, the ump missed what could have been a borderline strike and called it a ball.
Fair.
To me, the more impressive stat from last night is that he threw 99 pitches and 81 of them were strikes.
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
But can you believe he's now in a group? I mean, I guess the immaculate inning is cooler than we think if these are the only people that have done it twice. Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Koufax, Grove, and now Scherzer.
Immaculate inning or immaculate reception? Bigger immaculate.
Reception.
No doubt.
I guess reception.
I guess?
Yeah.
You just clown. We just spent an entire...
I'm mocking having an actual intellectual thought. I'm comparing immaculate and not going with conception as the clear number one.
Well, conception's got to be the one.
Okay, thanks.
Conception, I think,
We're
is the one.
We're playing for second.
Conception's the one. Reception's the second. inning the third immaculate.
So, but it's the third best immaculate. How can we say it's a big deal?
Did he really catch it too, Franco Harris? It hit the ground? There's a lot of questions.
Is there an Immaculate University or something like that, which we could maybe put at four here?
I think there's Immaculata. Is that a school name?
That
sort of
sounds
a coffee order.
Yeah, I thought that was a
from
drink
John Sterling.
7-Eleven. When we come back here on the show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day, including Ty Lue on making a drastic change tonight. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sweatpants at Work Zone.
It's just so unfair, the light I've been painted on for this show. When you need me to be fat and disgusting, it's okay for a laugh. But when it comes time to actually share a real-life moment, I'm too fat and disgusting for you. It can't work both ways.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Put it on the board. Yes! Definitely in the hopper for the 12 DAs of Christmas. It happened yesterday. Mraz melting down. Because we would not share, none of us here on the show, share food with him after it had been touched by his grubby paws. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can always check out the best video clips of the show by going to YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Search CBS Sports Radio. Search the DA show. You'll see the best of clips every single day there. Also in video form, you'll see them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Also, you will see them on our website at watchda.com under the full simulcast. Tweets coming in about the immaculate inning of Max Scherzer yesterday. 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 outs and out of the inning. James tweets, just a few days ago, this is why Max's immaculate inning is not a big deal these days. And he sends a graphic of Aaron Judge in 2 games of a doubleheader, 0-for-9 with 8 strikeouts.
Aaron Judge.
Exactly. I mean, Aaron Judge just had 8 strikeouts in a day. In a day, he struck out 8 times. I mean, even Giancarlo Stanton was impressed by that. Wow. I'll try that next time. Strikeout rates are through the roof. So guys striking out an inning, striking out a frame, striking out a side, even if it is in 9 pitches, does not feel like that big a deal these days.
That's baseball.
And you know, Susan, that's a big swing and a whiff by Aaron Judge. Then hopefully Giancarlo Stanton will whiff as well because I could use a breeze. You know, does it get this hot in Japan? It's quite humid today, Susan. You can tell by the frizziness of your hair. The 1-2 to Stanton is low.
Well, it'll be a 2-2-2-2.
2-2. Coming up next hour here on the show, Tony Finau is going to join us. Remember, he was the PGA Tour tough guy. He was the guy that clicked his ankle back into place after it was dislocated and finished the round. He's going to join us next hour, 1 hour from now. Time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Matt Patricia, who looks like a grizzly lumberjack, but speaks like somebody who's an opera singer, discusses the culture that he is building in Detroit.
It is not a situation where it's, you know, it's my culture, it's their culture, it's our culture. You know, it's us, it's the we, it's not the I. So definitely as you go through the process, and that's what's great about practice and having as much time with the players as we can possibly get.
Honestly, he doesn't speak like he's part of an opera group. He speaks like he's a 10th grader. If you told me, we're going to go to the post game right now, we're going to talk to one of the members of the National Scripps Spelling Bee, because Matt Patricia 10th grader from Pontiac, Michigan, has now entered into the finals. He has just won his regional to go to the finals of the Spelling Bee. Let's listen to Matt Patricia, 10th grader, moving on to the state finals of the Spelling Bee.
You know, it's us. It's the we. It's not the I. So,
All right, let's listen to the quarterback of the Ann Arbor High School team. Ann Arbor Central is going to be playing in the state final coming up. And let's talk to their quarterback, amazing rising sophomore, 15-year-old Matt Patricia.
So definitely as you go through the process, and that's what's great about practice.
Let's talk to the striker of Detroit West Prep as they prepare for their homecoming game against Valley. Here's 15-year-old striker on the boys' soccer team, Matt Patricia.
As you go through the process, and that's what's great about practice and having as much time with the players as we can possibly get.
He just doesn't match that giant, huge, thick beard that he's had, the pencil in his ear and the backwards cap. Ty Lue tonight. We'll try to mix things up and get Rodney Hood playing time.
I don't think it'd be too difficult. We're going to give Rodney a chance. He'll get a shot and see how he does. So he's been working, you know, staying ready. And so we'll see.
I mean, it's a shot in the dark, but that's kind of all you have right now is a shot in the dark. You need guys to knock down shots. And that's something that nobody's been able to do consistently in the first two games. You have to have somebody knock down shots. And maybe Rodney Hood can help that. But, you know, the problem is that your second go-to scorer is Kevin Love, and he's just too inconsistent. His outside shot is too inconsistent. And if your third scoring option is J.R. Smith, you've got a problem because he's inconsistent. And if it's not J.R. Smith, then it's Jeff Green. And Jeff Green, and everything that he's given them this postseason has felt like a bonus. And if it's not Jeff Green, it's Kyle Korver. And you don't want Kyle Korver to be your third scoring option or sometimes your second scoring option. He is really a specialist, a three-point shooter and nothing more. So what the Warriors have done, and very smartly, is defensively said, well, we can't stop LeBron. Now they'll get Iguodala back, so that'll help. Maybe try to contain LeBron, but we can't stop LeBron. And so the only other known commodity here is Kyle Korver. Because if he gets 10 three-point opportunities, he's going to knock down 6, 7, or 8 of them. That's just how good he is. So why don't we just collapse on Korver, switch to him, double him, suffocate him so that he can't get his shots off. And you know what? We'll see if J.R. Smith has his head on straight. And we'll take our chances with Kevin Love. And we'll take our chances with George Hill. We'll take our chances with Jeff Green. But essentially, the Warriors, how they've smothered Kyle Korver, have said he's the second most dangerous guy on this floor. LeBron can't do it himself. So let's smother Korver, and let's see if the rest of these bozos can do anything, and they haven't been able to. And the other thing is, remember, the Warriors have scored 120 points in both of these games. The Cavs can't score 120. I mean, they can if they really have a barrage of three-pointers, but they don't want to play in the 120s. They want to play in between 100 and 110. If they can keep it under 110, they give themselves a shot tonight. I think they win tonight. I do. I think the Cavs win tonight. And finally, Steve Kerr on Andre Iguodala returning for Game 3.
He's doing better. He played yesterday some one-on-one. Did some full court drills, and he told me he's feeling better. So I would upgrade him to questionable. He'll go through practice today, and we'll see how he feels after that and tomorrow. But I think he's getting closer, and I'm hopeful that he can play.
Well, the reports also are that Iguodala is pain-free. I think he probably plays tonight. If he doesn't play tonight, I think he plays at game number 4. I know that they're up 2-0, so they don't have to force him back. There is no urgency here. But now that the series has shifted to Cleveland, you need him more because LeBron is potent at home to go off on one of these ridiculous 42, 15, and 10 nights. So I think he'll probably play in tonight or game number 4. And that's a big deal, obviously, because defensively, Iguodala brings a lot to the table that nobody else really can do in terms of defense on LeBron on that Warriors roster. And that is your sound check this morning. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Speaking of the 2-2-2-2, Reed Phillips tweets, ugh, because of your show, DA, I can't see a series tied at 2 or a 2-2 pitch count or even hear the number 2 without, in my head, John Sterling giving us the 2-2-2-2.
Well, it'll be a 2-2-2-2.
That's what we're looking for. We are the maggots inside your brain.
Chew.
We are here to play nonsensical audio drops, usually of the 2 to 3 second variety, enough times to where it becomes reflex in your mind.
It is. It is.
Now, if you guys can't get by a 2-2 series or a 2-2 pitch without hearing John Sterling say the 2-2-2-chew.
Be a 2-2-2-chew.
Which, by the way, is a highlight in radio history. It really is, because you know John Sterling went into that series saying,
well, you know, Susan, there's going to be a two-ball, two-strike count to Shin-Chew-Chew, and what exactly should I do there? I need to be very deliberate with my word. The 2-2-2-chew.
2-2-2-2-chew.
But if you think that your brain is rotting, believe you me, it's nothing compared to what our brains are doing. Somehow overnight, get him out, has taken over our entire show. I don't know why. I don't know how.
Get him out.
Mraz said it one time, I think on the PGP. And I said, what are you talking about? Get him out. Get him out of where? Get who out of where?
It was on Robbie. I said, if Robbie doesn't have any instinct to go for any jobs, get him out.
Is the one we're playing from the PGP?
Yes, we pulled that from the PGP.
So that's the original get him out.
We have the original get him out. Get him out.
And you said that about Robbie Rosenhaus, if he doesn't get an interview for the producer job for Amy.
No, no. Forget getting an interview. If he doesn't even apply for any sort of job or want to take anything upon himself and just thinks people are going to come to him, it's time to get him out.
No, that's not what you said.
That was the context. We can go back and pull it.
So you said if he doesn't apply for this job.
Right.
The
I was
Amy
putting the
producer job.
Yeah, what you're saying is I'm putting it on management. No, I'm putting this on Robbie. Robbie has to take an initiative.
But for
Robbie,
this specific job.
Yeah, I said if he doesn't do that after everything we've put him through and everything we told him about being motivated, then get him out. He's never going to get it.
And has he applied for the producer job of Amy?
I'm not privy to that information. I'm not getting involved in what goes on with management. All I know is I'm sure at some point he'll tell me whether he applied or not. And if he didn't, get him out.
So I love this clip, get him out, because it is so dismissive. And what does it mean? Toss him out of the company?
If he's not going to take the initiative now, he'll never do it. He's just wasting time.
I agree. But
get him out.
Who are you telling to get out? You're telling him to take a walk, or you're telling management to boot him to the curb?
Well, I can't tell anybody to fire somebody.
I know,
but just saying in general, you know, let's just be honest. Let's get him out.
What does that mean, get him out? It means everything because I know your context, but it means nothing because it doesn't make any sense.
It means what you think it means.
Well, that's why I think I love it. And so now we've just been saying get him out to everything.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Lori is in Florence, South Carolina, listening on 100.1 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Lori.
How's it going, D.A.? Good. You beam me up?
You got it, buddy. What you got?
All right, my take is Max Scherzer's little 9-pitch inning is not that big of a deal.
Okay, why?
All right. Greg Maddux, in July 22nd of 1997, threw a complete game in 76 pitches.
Right, right. I saw that. I saw that come up the other day.
The most pitches he ever had in an inning was 11.
In that game?
That whole game. His first was 7. His second inning was 11. His third was 9. His fourth was 11. 5, 6, and seventh were all 7. His eighth was 9, and his 9 was 8.
So you're telling me 1996, you said, or 1997?
1997.
97. So we're talking about 21 years ago.
Yes.
He threw complete game. Is that all nine innings?
All nine innings with 76
pitches. 76
pitches. 63 strikes. 63 strikes.
That is so amazing. That is like throwing eight pitches per inning. How amazing is that? I love that. I saw that box score pop up maybe online somewhere a couple of weeks ago, and I just marveled. Right. A 76-pitch complete game from Greg Maddux. Yeah, to me, a more impressive inning is three pitches, three outs. I mean, you have to induce grounders or pop-outs, but that's more economical. When we come back here on the show, will we see a killer instinct from Golden State tonight? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.